For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know the Christmas carol, In the Bleak Midwinter? It's not one that I grew up with, but it's grown on me over the years. And this year, especially, it seems to say it all. In the bleak midwinter, it goes, frosty wind made moan, earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone, snow had fallen, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long ago. Today is not quite so bleak weather-wise. We just had two services out in the park. The earth was not frozen hard as iron. The water was not quite like a stone. But in many other ways, we gather today in a bleak midwinter. We gather at a moment of great darkness and of great light, of great suffering and of great hope, of painful sadness and of joyful anticipation. We gather, in other words, at a moment that distills to its essence what it is to be human. This is it. This is all it ever has been. Sickness and death and compassion and hope, powerlessness and pain and rejoicing and love, the mixed up emotional soundtrack to life. In ordinary times, it's a little quieter. The volume knob is turned to the left. But this is it. This is what it is to be human. To be fragile and beautiful and loved. And this is what it is God chose to be. If there's any comfort in any year, in the compassionate side of the Christmas story, it must be this year. At Christmas, we make an extraordinary claim. We make the claim that in Jesus, God became human and walked among us. God looked down on our world, as beautiful and broken 2,000 years ago as it is today. And God had a choice. God could wipe it all out in a new flood and start over. God could go away on vacation, set an out-of-office reply to our prayers, and spend some time in another part of the galaxy. Or God could delegate, could send another prophet to point out how we'd gone wrong and to explain how to turn back. But that's not what God did. God saw how often we say no to following the way of love and invited one woman to say yes. God saw how powerless we are over the circumstances of our lives, how little we can control about the world around us, and God became the least powerless creature with the least control, not a king or a legislator or a general, but a baby, a newborn human infant. God saw the mess that human life's become and did the only thing a loving parent could. God drew near to us, became one of us, became Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus' life, God knew the hunger and the fear of a newborn waking up for the 15th time in a night. God knew the frustration of a toddler trying to stack blocks higher than they could go. God knew the sorrow of losing a close friend and the joy of eating and drinking together with family and friends. God felt the deepest pain a human being could feel. God knew what it was to be betrayed. God knew what it was to die alone. God knew, and God knows, in other words, what it is to be human, in all its sweetness and its pain. And in our deepest, darkest moments, God is there with us. God sees us and knows us and loves us when we are at our worst and when we're at our best. The Christ who we celebrate this Christmas is the Christ of compassion, the incarnate, embodied God made flesh, the loving Word who brings our pain up into God and brings God's healing love down to us. And if this were the whole story, maybe it would be comforting. I have a friend in an old church who used to say, when he was asked about the problem of evil, you know, I just think God cries with us, and that's enough. And maybe it is for you too. But it's not the whole story. Our God is not just a compassionate friend, a wonderful counselor. Our God, Isaiah says, is a mighty God, a Prince of Peace who sits on the throne of David from this time onward and forevermore, whose authority shall grow continually, and in whose kingdom there shall be endless peace. God, in other words, didn't just come among us to be compassionate, to feel our pain, and then to return to heaven with empathy renewed and increased. God came to change the world, to turn it into something that it's not. In Jesus, God comes as a leader, a ruler, a prince, one who we can follow, who will guide us toward a world more full of love and peace. God teaches us to love one another. God empowers us to love one another. And then God demands that we love one another, with Jesus leading the way. There's one line in the Bleak Midwinter that gets me every time. Our God, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. Our God, heaven cannot hold him. God's love is so great that it spills out of heaven onto the earth. It pours into us, and then we overflow too, and God's love flows through us toward one another. God's Holy Spirit flows through us, giving us the power and the strength and the courage to love one another. Sometimes we don't recognize that it's happening. Sometimes we think it's just our own act of love. Sometimes we look at the world and say, "Where is God in all of this?" And the answer can only be right here, right now. Yes, God is up in heaven empathizing with us and loving us, but heaven cannot hold him. God is not trapped in heaven, but in the Holy Spirit, God flows on the earth. God acts in us and through us and for us. God is the hidden force in every act of human love. In every nurse's gentle touch, in every neighbor's grocery run for a friend, in every single sacrifice we make for one another, the Holy Spirit is there. The light of God shines in us. The same light of Christ that shines brightly on this holy night shines in our lives again. So this Christmas, look for that light. Carry that light. Spread that light to the people around you this Christmas season and forevermore. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. Amen.